Second down and 11. Wilson gets protection, airs it out. Metcalf is there, and it's knocked out of the back of the end zone. Was he in? Play was made by the rookie Diggs as the officials get together, and it's a touchback.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Ladies and Edelman Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, JV, alongside AJ Cadman and B-Pack, Pac-Sad.
What up, everybody?
I think this sweatshirt makes me look chubby.
It's a good thing this is an audio podcast.
I think the fat makes you look chubby.
It's the fat that makes you look fat. Guys, guess what arrived today?
Oh.
So in week one, JV and I had a wager on whichever team wins gets a bottle of wine. And you know, I won. And 2 weeks went by, tracking numbers, rerouting. He sent me a thing. He said you can pick it up in Tracy, California. Finally, the bottle arrived today.
Bro, it's the weather, the heat. The heat wave is slowing everything down. It couldn't, I guess for some reason, they couldn't deliver it in the heat, or it couldn't sit on the truck.
Can't stand the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
Bro, but I mean, that's expensive wine. I mean, if it was me personally, yeah, I wouldn't want to deliver it in the heat.
You know JV ain't splurging on overnight delivery.
Because if they deliver it and it's rancid, I ain't buying another bottle. That's on wine.com.
All right, so guys, just looking at the numbers, and now I'm no mathematician.
Stephen Hawking.
But it looks like six teams won this week while six teams lost. Woo-hoo! I'm going to use that joke until it doesn't work anymore.
13 straight weeks.
So wait, I haven't seen the final score. I don't have the TV on in the studio here, Studio A.
Well, I will say studio one J. Point in the evening, JV, you had an illegal lineup. You had 0 points.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the email going out from the commissioner committee or co-commissioners, whatever you guys are. I appreciate that going out.
Look, get just, it right. I'm the man behind the man.
Okay, this is the guy behind the guy behind the guy.
Just to set it straight, okay? At that point when the trade... I mean, I see you can make a case for me. I should have known, right? But why didn't CBS stop it and say, if you're going to make this trade, your lineup's going to be illegal? So... What I would say is that it has no bearing on the outcome. The outcome was over. We were both, Ben and I, at 0 minutes. And the fact that Henry had 1 point less, swapped him in. Yeah, there was no
ill will,
shenanigans,
controversy, as the English say. Is that how they say it?
Guys, I've been involved in controversy. This is not controversy.
Exactly.
Not compared to the drafts. This pales in comparison.
You should see some of these texts I get on the side.
Wow.
This is like a walk in the Rose Garden.
Yeah, it's not like...
Yeah, you know, so... No,
not like somebody's taxes got leaked.
No, right. Yeah. And, you know, in all fairness, the email we sent out, I think, was just AJ and I wanting to keep things as full transparent as possible. Just let everybody know. It didn't obviously have any effect on anything. And it wasn't even you know, it wasn't even something that I thought, you know, maybe we didn't even need to post and tell everybody. It was just one of those, it was more of a housekeeping thing, but we felt obligated as a, you know, as an open door policy that we have. We wanted just everyone to say, okay, yeah, we know what's going on. And you can check my taxes. My taxes are public record.
Dude, what are we paying CBS for here? Come on. I demand
should,
more.
Should there be some fail-safe to say, I don't get it. I don't understand.
I've spent more on wine than Trump's paid on taxes in the last 10 years.
Oh, man. Wow. What a last 24 hours.
So
So diving right into this.
Who's still 0-3? So it looks like Ben is 0-3.
Yeah, he's busted. old busted is 0-3.
Oh, Caleb Perkins actually pulled out a win.
Caleb pulled it out.
Oh, Perkins is 0-3.
Is 0-3.
Yep.
So just Perkins and Ben.
And that's it. Those are your two.
Yeah. Those are your two. And then for the 4-0s, you know, I'm sorry, the 3-0s.
Going to the future.
Getting ahead of yourself there.
The 3-0s, it looks like there's only two after, because Linda lost this week to Papa, so she's no longer in the running for undefeated. So it's just boiling down to AJ, my co-host and co-commissioner.
That Darren Waller pick is the reason why I'm 3-0.
And Jason lost this week.
Remind us.
Every week, JV. Yes, that's right. Two of your co-hosts are 3-0.
You know, if you're going to run a podcast, you better have the stats to back it up.
I should be 2-1 right now, homies. You know that Jared Cook garbage catch. It was a fluke.
But yeah, to AJ's point, we have four teams that scored over 150 points this week.
Points galore.
Which was crazy. I mean, this season already is busting through the roof. And we have another 44-point scorer. I think this might be the highest we're going to see all year. But Alvin Kamara for Papa Cabman scored 44.7 points.
That was not the high. Mahomes. He was out.
Oh, wait. Linda's in the background. Here, come hop in here.
This is Mahomes.
Linda's in the background saying,
Mahomes. Oh my gosh.
Rolling with Mahomes.
Get on the mic. Yeah, 48 points.
I was just looking at that. Even with that, it can save me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 48. It's not Kamara anymore. But it was still within our matchup. So that was pretty deep.
That was like your entire team score, Linda. What's up with that?
I know. There's no comment.
She said wow. No comment.
You had Kamara. You had that on Monday night. You had Russ with 46-8 Sunday afternoon. I mean, who's gonna top 50 next week? Wait, but you know what? I did say Mahomes last week.
Yeah, you did. You did say
Mahomes. Go to the tape.
This is where I'll insert. Wow,
that's crazy.
You saying,
48 points from Pat Mahomes. He threw four touchdowns, ran one in, 385 yards through the air and 26 on the ground. That's a statement, you guys. I know he's watching sports on Sundays just like us, and he sees Russ Wilson out there cooking, and he said, "Don't you all forget about me."
No soup for you.
Actually, to be fair, Russ Wilson scored 47 points this week. We kind of overlooked that. Russ Wilson had 46.8.
Wow.
Yeah, this is crazy. So I think we should pull up a graphic that shows the highest scores of the season. And I think it goes Mahomes, Russ Wilson.
Russ.
Yeah, and then I think it's Kamara because he outscored Aaron Rodgers from a couple weeks back.
Well, how do you pull up a graphic on radio? That's
use your mind, JV. Use your mind.
theater of the mind.
That's crazy. It's not even one person topping it every week. There's like multiple people just blowing it away.
But doesn't it seem like that every year? Every year?
Are these fools playing the Vikings the defense thing? Every week?
I feel like
I blame every COVID. Year. I blame COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it could be. Yes. It could be that these guys have been cooped up and like everybody else, and no training camp or mini camps or whatever, and now they're just like running wild.
I was listening to Scott Hansen on the Red Zone. Scott Hansen on the Red Zone, and there was something about I think it was during that Packers Saints game where they were talking about how Rodgers and some of these wily vets are able to do so much more pre-snap because there's no crowd noise. Mm-hmm. You're on the road, you're at home, it doesn't really matter, but you can do all kinds of stuff just to offset silent counts. I used to do silent counts to Caleb at Pauly. He had no idea. He was jumping off sides.
Rodgers did that last night. He did the hard snap count, drew him off sides, then got the PI in the end zone, which led was the deciding sort of possession for them.
At Pauly, there was one play that defined college. It was our team versus hook? The Wild Turkeys.
Oh, that was Caleb. Was until the button hook that hit you in the side of the head.
Bro, he goes running out. So I'm strike, and then he crow hopped, and he threw the ball as hard as he could at the back of my head. Anyways, let's go on.
Wait. So I this is a genuine question here. So the crowd noise is that's not being piped into the stadium. Is that right, or is it?
I think it is.
Some.
Yeah.
Because it right, or is it just coming over the broadcast?
It's the chicken versus the egg.
It's like the yellow line. Can they see the yellow line?
It's like that hockey puck with the tail behind it on the ice. it goes so much faster with that blue tail behind it.
Hey, you don't remember that, JD?
I don't know if I've seen that. At the hockey game, is that where they run the races where you pick your die?
it looks like Haley's Comet on the ice. You're just like you're like, what is this? Where's my telescope? You see the tail behind the puck.
Oh man!
Did you guys see the story over the weekend about Joe Montana?
Oh, yeah.
So, first thing Sunday morning, this story breaks about Joe Montana and how he foiled a kidnap. Like something out of a James Bond movie.
Intruder, like Home Alone.
An intruder came into his house and went into like a side room and tried to abduct his like grandchild. And Joe like tackled Joe and Jennifer, his wife, they tackle the thing and hold him down and like citizens arrest.
It was a lady.
It was a woman, yeah.
Yeah. I had heard too the reason he was able to catch her was because of his Skechers.
Well, I just got one thing to say. Joe is the goat. Let's see Brady try to stop a kidnapping.
In his creamsicle t-shirt.
Until Brady is stopping kidnappings, there's no debate. Joe's the goat.
I mean, I didn't know Joe's out here in Malibu.
Yeah, bro, he splits time. He's up in the city and in Malibu. He does business up here and goes down there in place.
What is he doing nowadays?
What isn't Joe doing, bro?
He's saving lives, JD.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That he's woman was nearly out the door of the house, and he made a fourth quarter comeback and saved the day. Greatest of all time. Joe Montana.
Yeah, what if he tackled her and then was able to, like, in midair, caught his grandchild as well, too? That would have been the greatest catch heard around the world.
We may never know.
True story. Here's a true story. Nima can tell you, too. So Super Bowl, whatever, the one against the, I think it was the Marino, Dan Marino Super Bowl.
84. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, in 84. I think it was a Super Bowl against Marino. Joe comes into the huddle, and there's only a few seconds left. It's like a tight game. He looks at all of the other teammates in the huddle. He looks them in the eyes, and he sees them all nervous, and he thinks to himself, all right, what am I going to do to calm everyone down? And he takes one step out of the huddle, and he comes back in, and he says, hey, guys, look. There's John Candy. And sure enough, John Candy was on the sidelines, and it just calmed everybody down. And then he threw a dime to Dwight Clark. Actually, I think it was against the Cowboys. He throws this dime to Dwight Clark, and it's called the catch. So every time Nima and I are playing pickleball, when we're down, I go, Nima, is that John Candy?
I you know, I feel like I've heard that story, not from you personally, but I feel like I've heard that story. Right?
Of course. I didn't make it up.
I'm not saying
Real news.
All right, shall we get into any more stories? Is there any league?
No, let's get into the segment.
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Why don't we start with AJ's Beat Farm?
Right. AJ's Beat Farm for week 3. Not a lot compared to the last couple weeks, but unfortunately for our good friend Jeremy, he sits on the Beat Farm this week, losing by 7 points
to Moyne.
When you score 150 points and you actually, you know, put up some points on Monday night and you don't make it, that kind of earns you your spot. But some background as to why, Moyne, with no Adams or Jones and that 47 from Russ, he got 2 defensive TDs from Indy. I mean, he put up the points. Meanwhile, Jeremy had to fight from behind after getting a goose from John Brown on Sunday. And then I'm sure he was dismayed to see the Chiefs score a touchdown to an offensive lineman and to a fullback rather than to his boy Kelsey. I was crying for you, bro, but at the same time, you fall onto AJ's Beat Farm of the week.
Moyne, just to give props where props are due, Moyne put on a clinic. I thought this was one of his more impressive things. Moyne and I haven't always seen eye to eye. Moyne likes Teslas. I'm more of a Porsche guy myself. But this dude put on an absolute coaching clinic. So Moyne, wherever you are, I give you props. I think you should have had an L this week. I mean, your whole team is hurt. Injured reserve, out. You even picked up an injured player. Nima dropped Cam Akers. You picked up Cam Akers. You just went into this with no chance at all, and you threw in Hail Mary, and you deserve this win. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, Tucker had to get those 9 points for him to win. I mean, he was sweating on Monday night. Props.
All right.
So what do we want to go to next?
We want to do, I got my craziest thing here, but if we want to do the
no, go ahead, go ahead. I'll we'll do be packed in last.
All right,
we'll you better have like 3 or 4 or 5. There's a lot that was crazy this week.
Well, you know, time constraints, so I just have one. I think probably the craziest thing I saw, and you know, maybe if there's a few more on the list that you want to throw in for contenders, but I think it was probably Atlanta with a 26-10 fourth quarter lead. And I don't know if you guys were watching that game, but I caught the end of it, right?
Yeah, so, that was crazy.
So they right, they're 26-10 with 10:40 left, and then the Bears come back, and now it's 26-16, 6:20 to go, and the Bears just keep chipping away and chipping away until finally they pull out the win. But it was one of those heartbreakers where it was like, it was the Super Bowl all over again for the Falcons, and it just hurt.
Who won that Super Bowl?
Who was that? I actually don't remember. Was that the Patriots?
Wasn't that Patriots and Brady?
Yeah, that was the Patriots. Yeah. Okay.
That was Foles. Foles came in for Trubisky and brought the Bears back.
Right, I know. Yeah, Foles was the hero of that game. And the defense too, because they did pick at the end. I think they picked Ryan at the end. Here's what I don't understand. I guess they were trying to give Trubisky just another chance. But after last year and then the beginning of the season, why wouldn't you just bench him and just have a guy like Foles? I know we're getting off topic, but
is he like head and shoulders? You never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Just remember, in that draft, Trubisky was drafted ahead of Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have dandruff. Exactly. That's why I got head and shoulders. Okay. JV, I don't know. I saw something crazier.
Not to step
on your take, but I saw Russ Wilson throw a 65-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf. And before he got into the end zone, he was hot-dogging and walking, and he got chased from behind.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Like Leon Lett. Mm-hmm. Remember when Dom Beattie ran down, knocked the ball right out the end zone for a touchback? Now, that was the craziest thing I saw on Sunday.
I guess so. You don't see that happen a lot. I just thought it was, compared to the fact that like this whole thing in the second half between the Falcons and the Bears unfolded the way it did, and all of a sudden at the end it was like, it just was like crushing for them. I thought that's why that was kind of crazy, just to see them lose another huge lead like they did in the Super Bowl. I know, I guess it's not uncommon for teams to lose a huge lead.
They are the first NFL team to blow back-to-back 15-point fourth quarter leads in history.
That's what I'm saying, homie. That's what I'm saying.
I would have picked them maybe for a different segment. But I do want to say the beat farm involves internally. I will say honorable mention to DK Metcalf, which I agree was the craziest thing I saw. Gallup's catch late in that game too, that was what I was going to bring up next.
Yeah,
Flowers. Okay, well, I'm stealing your thunder. Go for it.
No, that's fine. I mean, Flowers was falling down, right, and like the ball hit him in the chest. Then as he's flailing about like a marlin on the deck of a boat, he kicked the football in the air right into Gallup's hands. Gallup had just turned that way, caught the ball, and then ran for like a decent gain after that, which was crazy, because to me I would put that above the Metcalf one, just because of the antics involved to actually have the wherewithal to look and see the ball being kicked in your direction and then catch and go. But that was another crazy thing. So that one's up there too. I'd put that up there. I don't know if there's anything else. And we didn't have any crazy. Lamar didn't come back to win to help. Who are you playing this week, B?
Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I thought maybe it was going to be something that would be crazy, but that would be a bad beat, actually. But anyway, so but
you better keep beats and my name out your mouth.
we thought maybe we were going to see the Beat Farm take place again live for 2 weeks in a row. That would have been crazy. But anyway, so this has been JV's craziest thing I've seen in the NFL for week three.
Why?
Be packed in a fool. What? Be packed in a fool. What? Be packed in a fool. What? He didn't get his wine on time.
What's up, everybody? This is B-Pack here with another episode of Be Packed in a Fool. Remember, this is a list you don't want to make. Smash that subscribe button and leave a comment down below. Let everyone know where you heard about it. Be Packed in a Fool. And our top three contestants for this week. Number three on the Be Packed in a Fool list goes to my homie, Jeremy Perkins. Perkins saying that he somehow always plays the highest scoring team of the week, kind of indicating that he would win if he faced anyone else in the league. So, you know, I did a little deep dive. I went down a Reddit rabbit hole. I took a look and found out it's not quite accurate. He played the third highest scoring team this week. There were actually three teams that scored higher than Perkins. He was the fourth highest scoring team this week. So I took a look at week two, and you know, the story is the same. In week two, there were two teams that indeed scored higher than Perkins. He was the third highest. And in week one, well, Perkins lost to the eighth highest scoring team of the week. He only scored 111 points. So that right there, you guys, it earned Perkins Be Packed in a Fool. Number two, Be Packed in a Fool, is my homie Caleb. Sean Caleb made a roster move and he picked up Derek Carr. And he had Derek Carr until JV said something like, wait, why didn't you pick up Daniel Jones? And Caleb's like, I meant to pick up Jones. So he ended up making the roster substitution and he dropped Carr and picked up Jones, and Derek Carr went on to score 19.44 points, and Jones got Caleb a whopping 8.06.
Oh no.
Yeah, bro. Against the vaunted Niners defense.
Caleb is be-packing a fool. And last on the list, I love the guy. It goes to Nima, none other than Nima, who started the Saints defense, which scored -4 points.
Wow.
He literally gave Caleb points. It was like an extra roster spot for Caleb, like it was for me in week one when JV started the Vikings defense. But that didn't only get him Be Packed in a Fool. Not only did he start the Saints defense, Saints were playing the Packers, and Nima has Aaron Rodgers and the receiver. So get this, Nima's quarterback throws a touchdown to Nima's receiver, which should be something like, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 points, right? But it's not. It was -4 because the defense gave it up. So he had to outscore the offset of him giving points. It was like dogs chasing tails. I don't know how to say it. So Nima, I love you, buddy, but you were be packing a fool.
Cuckoo.
All right, now let's pivot to the concerned-o-meter. How concerned are you for the following players? Just a refresher, I'll give you guys a couple names of players that are potentially underperforming or their situations are kind of shifting from what maybe draft day value thought it would be. And you guys give me a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being not concerned, 10 being like, yeah, he'll be fine, and 1 being... I would dump him. I would dump this dude. He's about to be on the free agent wire coming up soon. All right, let's jump in. So number one is actually on the high scoring player of the high scoring team of the week, Papa Cadman. What are we thinking about Julian Edelman? We did Thielen last week. What are we thinking about Edelman? New role, new quarterback. This last week he had 2 catches for 23 yards. How concerned are you guys with Julian Edelman?
JB, I'll let you go first this week.
I would say I'd probably be concerned. I mean, when you've got, again, you know, a quarterback like Cam Newton who can run a lot on his own and who's obviously way more mobile than Brady. You know, maybe Edelman's just not, maybe the teams he's playing, they're covering him too well. I can't say that with confidence because, you know, they played the Raiders and he still only got like 4 points. So, you know, and their secondary is not, I mean, it's better, but it's never been great in years past. So I don't know. I'd be concerned. I think with Cam as quarterback, I don't think Edelman's gonna.
I need a number out of you. That was a lot of talking. What's your number? 1 through 10.
Bro, I'm analyzing. This is filling the dead air. It's analyzing.
we're on minute 46 of this podcast. Yeah, out here analyzing. Ain't nobody got time for analyzation. What are we doing here?
I'd say 4. I put him at a 4. You know, I'm worried. I wouldn't drop him right now. Like, you know. Eighth period English. Was there an eighth period? Sixth period.
Eighth
English?
Period? What are you in class till 6 p.m.? This dude said eighth period.
No, I wouldn't drop him yet. No. So, I put him at a 4. I'd be concerned.
JV, time for dinner. Hold on, Mom. I'm in eighth period.
I'm an 8. I'm not worried. He's getting the targets. We all know Cam's going to, you know, have his games where he's just not throwing the ball well. They still happen to beat the Raiders, I think. I think he's fine. This was one bad week. He'll be back.
All right. I'll give you my number. I give it a 2. I'm worried as everything. I've got Edelman in another league, a league that doesn't matter, but that team looks like a run-heavy team now, and Cam's taking all this goal line stuff, and they're just bulldozing people, and Belichick plays to his players. So I'm worried.
Especially with James White still out, right? I mean, you know, he's out because of his dad, personal reasons, but, right? I mean...
Does he get bereavement fares?
Like, you guys, I don't know.
If you take a flight because of a passing, you get a bereavement fare.
Oh, a bereavement fare. I thought you meant like bereavement leave, like in corporations, you know, where you typically get like 3 days. I thought that's what you meant. I thought that's kind of weird.
Talking about flight, Southwest gives you bereavement. You just have to, tell them why. Okay, let's move on. Next player on the concerned-o-meter is actually a stud, but there's been a couple weeks where he hasn't quite pulled it together. So what's our concern meter with Josh Jacobs? Jacobs had a monster week 1, so we know that, but since then he's scored 13 points and this week he scored 9 points.
No concern.
And lost a fumble. How concerned are we about JJ?
No. I 100% 10. I'm not concerned because he's got a little bit of a hip injury. I just think it's, and then I think, you know, I just don't think they played great against the Pats, and you know, you're going against Belichick, so it's you know.
I agree. My number's also a 10. AJ, what's your number?
Bro, I'm not finished.
Bro, you were finished before you started.
I'm like a 3 or 4. I'm worried. I think not so much the injury,
but
I think they're preserving him. He's not going to get the touches that, you know, he's not going to be like a 25 carry Derrick Henry. No, they're gonna make him out for the season. So I'm a little worried about what his numbers might be. I think he'll be fine health wise.
All right, the last guy I give you, but before I do, one of the things we forgot to mention on Craziest Thing I Saw, did you see in the Cowboys and Seahawks game, this dude tackled Chris Carson, and then he alligator rolled his leg, like he grabbed it like he was fighting a gator in Florida, and he like spun around, and it was such a dirty play, and I'm sure it'll be all over the replays or whatever, but that was the craziest thing I saw. Okay, the last player that we're concerned about, concerned-o-meter, how concerned are we about Joe Mixon? Joe Mixon, drafted in the first round by yours truly.
No way, really?
And he's been getting... Yeah, so I'll go first. Here's the pros and the cons. I gotta boost his trade value, guys. All right, pros and cons. Pros for Joe Mixon is the touches. Every single week, he's gotten over 20 touches. That's not anything to sneeze at. They also gave him a huge contract during the offseason, so he's their workhorse back. And last year, he started off very slow. Okay? Those are the pros. The cons are literally everything else you can think of. Everything else is a con. This dude has no touchdowns. He's got no shake. He's got no rattle. He looks like he's checked out, like he's thinking about something else. I got this, I'm fast forwarding through the games and just watching his mannerisms. And like, he's like a waiter at Denny's working the midnight shift, like slow to bring the coffee, slow to bring the apple pie. Like Joe Mixon, I'm concerned, and I own the dude.
It's like he's thinking of like what his life could have been like.
He's like, I wonder if Ted Lasso, if there's a new Ted Lasso episode tonight. I wonder how Succession's going to end. Yeah, he's got other things on his mind.
Come on, JV. Succession.
Ted Lasso. All right. I don't watch a lot of TV, homie.
I'm worried too. If not next week, the season, the defense he's going against. I think I had him last year in a league that doesn't matter, and he disappointed me.
I don't know if I could use the CBS app on my iPad here. What are we paying for? I would say a four. I'd be worried if I were you.
Cool.
Doesn't sound like he's, doesn't seem like he's getting the production.
You guys, three words. Trust the process. Trust this process. There's a method to this madness. Do you smell? It doesn't matter.
6 points. Yeah, 6 points, 12 points, 8 points.
Bro, you don't, come on. Specifics? Keep it general.
I'd probably be worried. I don't know. How is that Cincy offense doing anyway?
Amazing. Top five in the league.
That sounds like you're lying to me.
Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow, yeah, and you have Joe Burrow on your team, right? But he's got kind of small hands, right? Isn't that the knock on?
Oh my gosh.
Bro, the same, that's Baker. Wasn't that Baker?
No, that was Burrow. They were making fun. It was going around the internet. Somebody was making fun of Joe Burrow's hands, his small hands. Something like that. All right, homies. This was the Ladies and Edelman Fantasy Football Podcast Show, whatever you want to call it. And it's been great. And I'm JV.
I'm one of your 3-0 co-hosts, AJ.
I'm the other one. My name is BPAC. And if anybody's still listening, at this point, you are invited to be the first guest manager on the podcast. So if you're still listening, shoot me a text or send us a little message and we'll figure out how to get you guys on here, because we'd love to get some fresh energy on this podcast. So first one to get back to us
wins. This is like a contest.
Yeah, first one to get back. We're opening it up, bro. First one to get back to us gets in.
Bro, you got to have rules. If you don't have rules, then you don't have a society. And then you got anarchy and chaos, as the Joker liked to say. Why don't you? I mean, one of the GMs lives with you. I mean, you could have just asked her if she wanted to.
She made an appearance today, actually. I know. The sports gal.
But I mean, you could just say, you know, for next week, you could have her on the show if you want.
Linda, are you down to be on the show next week? She said maybe. And then she asked, she's like, I'm busy. And then she asked why. She said maybe. Why?
Non-committal.
Well, you know, it's a tell her it's like an interview segment. You know, we have her on the show and we'll ask, you know, questions. You know,
she's holding out for a better deal.
You know, if she needs to see the questions beforehand, she can get final approval.
Her PR people may think otherwise.
This ain't no presidential or debate. You're not going to get the questions in advance.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I think that's it. So yeah, maybe Linda next week, or it could be you, dear listener. Get back to BPAC and see what happens. All right, we'll end the show now, and remember, we'll see you at the game.
Trust the process.